This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Donna Hughes. Donna is with StoneX, and we'll talk markets in a moment. Well, let's turn from markets for just a moment to a new USDA program that will help nonprofit lenders to finance small meat and poultry processing projects. Dr. Karama Neal is director of USDA's Rural Business Cooperative Services.
We welcome people to visit the program website at rd.usda.gov/MPILP. That's for Meat and Poultry Intermediary Lending Program. rd.usda.gov/MPILP. And of course, we always encourage folks to visit usda.gov/meat. That provides a comprehensive look at USDA's work in this sector.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we're joined by the Senior Risk Management Consultant for StoneX, Donna Hughes. She's in Abilene, Texas. And Donna, what some might not know is, though you're in Texas, you spent a lot of time in Chicago, and not just time in Chicago, but trading a market that we don't even trade anymore, pork bellies. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was fortunate to be brought up in the business trading pork bellies with the gentleman who was the largest individual hedger on the exchange. His name is George Siegel, and we traded pork bellies together for about 35 years, and it was my my learning ground, and I was fortunate to be raised up in that business with the grandfathers such as George and his peer group, and lucky enough to work with the senior officials of companies like JBS and Smithfield and IBP, Tyson. That was basically my commodity college.
We're going to, I'm glad you mentioned that, and the working with those who were in other companies in the livestock sector, because I want to come back to that in just a moment. But why do we not trade pork bellies anymore? And some might not even know that that's not even on the board of trade anymore. You can't find those contracts traded. Why did we end up losing that market?
You know, pork bellies was listed as one of the original contracts on the CME, and that came after butter and eggs and Milo, and Milo, which is not traded anymore as well. But pork bellies, you know, it was basically the contract specifications for pork bellies. Part of it was that it had to be a skin-on belly. And so, you know, anything that was traded or merchandised for hedging in that way had to have the skin on the belly, which is, you know, the ribs next to the rib, the underside of the hog. And so as time progressed and business changed, food service and all of that, the skins of the bellies actually began to have their own market. And so a lot of the excess product that the pork producers produced from the hog, instead of being skin on bellies, they began to do a larger amount of skinless bellies. And those are not applicable to the pork belly contract as it stood. So as more and more bellies went to skinless, you know, that kind of dwindled down the activity, and basically, you know, we had to delist the contract for lack of activity. And so it was probably about 11, 12 years ago that the contract was delisted. But certainly an era to be remembered, and just a very, very wonderful learning ground for me. Very thankful.
You mentioned how it just changed over time, and there was no longer really that market for it. And we saw the same with another that you mentioned there, Milo or sorghum. which is no longer traded in Chicago on the board anymore there. One thing that is traded, now that we've combined the board and the CME group together, we now obviously continue to trade livestock futures and options through live cattle, feeder cattle, and hogs. But let's focus on the cattle side of that equation right now. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years on potential manipulation in the markets and concern about where the markets are going. But without getting into that right now, let's talk about where those future markets are. We've seen some big moves in that cattle market over the last 18 months.
We certainly have. It's been, as I like to say, a wild ride, over the last 18 months to 24 months. And, we've had a lot of things that have affected our livestock markets. And, it's just something that, producers are rolling with as time goes by. I mean, things that come out of left field that affect, what you can do with production and all of that. I mean, right now we're dealing with, on the southern plains, we're dealing with a lot of drought, obviously. And, a lot of this is being reflected in the USDA reports that we're getting on a monthly basis. We've been seeing more and more cattle going into feedlots as pastures and rangeland deteriorate under the drought conditions, and also as the price of corn continues to elevate. That's a major issue for producers as well. We've got the worry of what the economy is going to, be doing to future demand from consumers. What's going to happen with box beef values in regard to that? Higher prices, or, are we going to be able to see things go lower in regard to product values, because producers, our consumers are not out there buying these higher priced, items in the grocery store. So there's a lot to be considered, at this time. And hats off to the livestock producers for sure, because there's been a lot affecting those markets, and it doesn't look like, things are going to settle down in the near term.
One that maybe we don't really spend a lot of time, you and I, talking about, but we kind of started the conversation with pork belly. So let's jump back over to lean hogs. We've seen them falling over the last month and a half or so. As we head into the real main grilling season, what are some expectations for that market? Are we getting any clue as to where that market might be going?
With the beef, with the box beef values, we should be seeing retailers buying up, in anticipation of Father's Day, 4th of July, kick off the grilling season. And, with the economics being the way they are, unfortunately, we've been seeing box beef in the near term, kind of steady to flat. And, if things don't pick up before, the 4th of July, we'll be heading into the, dog days of summer, so to speak. And it's going to be interesting to watch to see how the demand goes as we get out into those summer months.
Okay. So, again, we've covered a lot here on the livestock side, but one thing we haven't talked about is the other side of this that I think is affecting the markets as well, and that's the equities. Is that something StoneX watches?
It definitely is. If you're in commodities, you should be watching outside markets You know, equities affect our markets just, you know, in different ways, just as much as crude oil or the dollar index or anything else, depending on what's going on and what the moves look like and what the other headlines may be. Certainly, you know, equities are reflective of, what would be perceived as consumer demand. We look at, you know, unemployment numbers, a lot of different things that are tied to equities and equity trade that do affect our commodity markets.
And do we, as we head into a, really a season of continued uncertainty, how does StoneX set themselves up to work at, not necessarily with existing customers, but for those who might be looking for a partner moving forward? How does somebody even jump out in the water working with StoneX?
You know, we partner with a lot of different groups to promote and to educate. We have an education department that will come out and do programs for producers and different groups in regard to different commodities or general overview. You know, we have a fertilizer seminar that coming up in Taylor County here in the month of June. And, you know, we find that it's a good way to get out and to promote StoneX as a company and try to promote commodities as a tool for risk management for producers. It's definitely something that producers need to know about. It's something that, you know, you can use or not use depending on what the situation is, but just to have the availability of it and to begin to get educated on it. This could be done, you know, through any of the seminars that we do in different areas, or we also have online classes that we have available, someone can view on their computer at home.
And if we want to learn more online, how do we find it?
You can go to StoneX.com, and we've got all our resources right there on the website.
StoneX.com. She's the Senior Risk Management Consultant for StoneX, Donna Hughes, on today's Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Donna Hughes with StoneX.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Introducing the industry's only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance. Elevate your operation with the Fendt Rogator 900 series. Explore the machine that fits for all seasons. Spring pre-plant, post-emerge short crops, and late season tall crops. Application on your own terms. And that is how you grow bold. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. To keep up with StoneX, find them online, StoneX.com.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
We're 6 months into the bipartisan infrastructure law and its efforts to improve our nation's various forms of infrastructure, both rural and urban. The progress report from White House senior advisor and federal infrastructure coordinator Mitch Landrieu.
We have funded over 4,300 projects already, touching over 3,200 communities across all 50 states. In the last 6 months, we've pushed out $110 billion.
Some examples of BIL focus points in rural America include
climate smart infrastructure, watershed and flood mitigation, rebuilding dams, making sure that we can move goods up and down the waterways of our country, and then with high-speed internet, making sure that folks in rural areas can work through precision agriculture, telemedicine.
Rural communities seeking information about BIL programs and their application processes can access the White House Rural Playbook online.
You can find it at build.gov/rural.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.